Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 24 of Radio Radar. I'm your host, Hollander Cooper. Here with me in studio is...
Tom Agrino.
Henry Gilbert.
And Ryan Telchnik.
All right, we have an awesome show for you. Some big news. A top seven of a unique top seven.
Unique New York. Why are you going to say it differently?
It's a little abrasive.
Well, I mean, you're an abrasive person.
That's true.
You're matching form to content.
It's just part of your person.
It's true.
So,
as they say.
Yeah. Let's hear another version.
Tom Agrino.
I don't like that either.
That's a weird Lucas Sullivan ripoff.
One more. Let's try one more.
Tom Agrino.
That's exactly how you do it all the time.
No, it's Tom Agrino.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think you can ditch the original one.
T-Mag?
I'm not sure about T-Mag.
Ryan T.
Ricky Taljow
is
the name I've gone with.
Well, that's what my parents call
me. So the only way that we could make this intro worse...
is by talking about the top seven?
Is talking about, for the third Radio Radar in a row, furries.
Yes.
Yes.
Three in a row.
So, last week on the show, you might have heard us brainstorming aloud a top seven idea about the top seven sexiest video game animals.
Can I tell you about
video game animals?
Let me tell them about how I discovered I would be writing this feature.
Okay. No pervert, Ryan Todd.
Suddenly I get an email in my inbox and it's like,
other people are at a meeting.
Yeah, everyone else is in a meeting. I'm just kind of outside just doing my own thing. And I get an email and I check it and it says, assigned to you, top seven most uncomfortably sexy animals in video games. And I thought to myself, Jesus Christ, what is happening in that meeting?
I remember being in that meeting and Cooper saying, boy, Ryan must think this is good. What is Ryan thinking when he gets this email?
Well, I'll tell you what I was thinking. What in the fuck?
I'll tell you what he was really thinking.
Also,
I'm just Googling.
Right.
So, yeah, we talked about it on the podcast last week, and it came to fruition, the top seven most uncomfortably sexy video game animals.
So we got a lot of comments, and we had this discussion ourselves. There was the old pervert furry article.
Yeah,
perverts. And we decided,
It's been long enough. Also, that article was literally pointing out the existence of said characters. It was more of like, here are 20 perverts.
Eight of them. You know what? We can do better.
Yeah, so a lot of the same entries, but... more explanation as to why specifically we are so uncomfortable by them. Number seven, Carmelita Fox from Sly Cooper.
Now, Carmelita's got a special spot in my heart.
You're calling it a heart now?
She's a foxy fox. What else can be said? I mean,
right,
she's super intelligent. She's really good at capturing the bad guys. And also,
she
is a fox,
gun.
Which is weird. A weird thing.
She's like blue hair.
Blue hair.
It's
beauty
beautiful
mark.
Hair.
Beauty mark seems to be a common... a common feature.
Can animals even have, like, I guess they could have just a sudden patch of...
One of my cats has a beauty mark.
That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
That's number eight, by the way, in the top seven.
Tom's
comfortably sexy video game animals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's got a little beauty mark, like Cindy Crow.
You know what's weird as well? One night I'm at home researching this article. Wow, this already sounds weird.
Yeah.
Okay. I got to commit. I'm at home doing some research for this top seven, and my girl cat sits on my lap while I'm doing it. I'm like, well, this is just really weird.
Well,
it's like
all sorts of parallels.
It's like she walked in on you.
Yeah, it was... And then my girlfriend did walk in, and she's like, what's up? And I'm like, just don't worry about what this is.
I
swear to God.
Well, you and I are still cool. This is just a thing I got to do.
This is my job. I'm sorry.
You probably want to go stay with your family. You want to go stay with your mother for a few days or something like that. I understand.
But, I guess I don't understand why Carmelita Fox, first of all, she talks kind of like Jennifer Lopez.
Uh-huh.
Mm. And she, why does she have like a weird, she only wears like a bikini top. That's also a common thing with these animals.
I mean, look at the abs on that fox.
Yeah, those are some striking abs.
I'm almost sure foxes can't
have
abs.
She could gallop
like, I really
on
don't
her
think
abs.
They have that capacity.
True.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's number seven. Number six is a little yuckier looking, but still there's something there.
She kind of went.
Candy Kong from Donkey Kong.
Man, you know what? Candy Kong is hideous. She is.
I mean, she's got the trailer pack, the poor white trash kind of super glammed up with the eyeshadow.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things...
That's the sexiest picture of her, though. She was designed differently in previous ones.
One of the things that I pointed out, though, in the top seven is she looks like a cross between Daisy Duke and Miss Piggy.
Yeah.
Except an ape.
So are we really going to talk about this top seven?
Yeah, we're okay. Going with it.
All right, let's just keep going.
I mean...
And her name is written on...
On her chest.
No.
I mean...
Her tits. Like, let's be super honest. There's barely any chest there. It is just...
No, there's a lot of chest there.
Well, to be
very
okay,
hairy.
Fair, yeah.
So... Oh. Wow, yeah, that's weird, man.
Oh God! Just,
so that's can't, we are so uncomfortable right now.
Know,
we
right?
have to continue.
Like, I'm just thinking, like,
she's a prime
I don't,
eight.
I don't
example.
Trust you guys
I still don't
to
like
not
that.
Commit an HR violation in the next. If we go for half
number
hour,
five,
we'll just make
Crystal
brief.
From Star Fox Adventures. My personal favorite
this
part
one
about
is,
this.
This wasn't. Yeah, go ahead.
Is that if you Google Crystal from Star Fox Adventures, you'll actually struggle between. Discerning what is the official art and
yes.
what is the sexy fan art.
Uh-huh.
Because for some reason, Rare was like, how about a shot of her sitting in a captain's chair, except she's crossing her legs and kind of arching her back and making like a come hither
uh-huh. like expression. Ryan used in the article seems like it might not be official. Like, I'm surprised it is.
Yeah.
Though then again, Rare is on this list three times. So
I think, that's a good point.
I didn't think of that till just now. But they... Yeah.
Yep. But we're only a couple entries deep, and this is the second fox to appear
yeah.
too.
Yeah,
right?
Foxes
that's
are
a common.
Sexy.
That's a common genus. Common genus.
And so yeah, she's a fox.
But, so
originally
she
was not going to be part of the Star Fox universe at all.
Uh huh.
She was as we talked about in our previous top seven.
That's right.
Fairly recently, she was part of the Star Fox Adventures, which was Dinosaur Planet, and she was originally in Dinosaur Planet. It was going to be her
playable
hooking up with Saber.
Oh,
yes. They're fox.
Mm-hmm. Let me just say, I stumbled across some very well written
fanfic, really,
while doing mm-hmm. Crystal research. To the and I had to check some of it out, and oh my
yeah,
god,
yeah. Why well, recently had to write
so,
about Crystal?
A minx, perhaps a vixen.
A vixen is a female fox.
Yeah. A minx is a different thing.
That's right.
That's like
but
that weird
it's a different animal. I don't
weird
know
rat animal that lives in water.
With
or Chris,
but a vixen.
With Crystal, I recently had to do research for her history too.
Me
for,
too.
No, for the Smash Brothers roster thing. But anyway, I found out that like her actual history sounds like fanfic because at the end of that of the end of Dinosaur Planet, she joins Star Fox. Then in Star Fox Assault, no Armada. Like, she is dating Star Fox, then leaves Star Fox to date Star Wolf.
Whoa.
And joins the Star Wolf team.
And then like, in Star Fox
damn, that's
Assault,
heavy.
Scandalous.
I think she dates Panther.
Oh, that's right.
Like
no,
that.
Panther on the
oh,
Star
right,
Wolf
right.
team.
It's in, it's,
that's who she
It's
dates.
In Assault, because that game has, like, 17 endings for the, uh-huh. for the DS.
Yeah.
And some of them are just like... Hey, Fox, you didn't help me, so now I'm leaving with Panther. And it's
wow.
just, and Panther's just like, yep.
It's quite the like, relationship.
It really does
Panther
read like a really
like,
bad.
Come on, baby. Let's
yeah.
get out of here.
There's a really, it does her story. The Star Fox story in general sounds like terrible fanfic. Let's just be really
field.
Open about that.
They're in a weird place for whatever sequel they do. I think they just need to pretend that.
Just reboot.
Happen. Yeah.
Just reboot the Star Fox franchise. But
Number
you know
Number four.
No, we are not done talking about Crystal.
Yes, we are.
Number four, Rouge.
Rouge. I didn't even know this chick existed.
Rouge might be the sexiest.
Really? You didn't?
She's the bustiest.
Well,
that's debatable.
Debatable.
She made a. She made
Batable.
Quite, oh, boy.
Oh, man.
She made quite
a
splash
in
Sonic Adventures 2, which that game was all about playing as people who aren't Sonic, which was BS at the time.
Yeah.
So. Knuckles stages were shitty enough. Mm-hmm. Then you had to play as her during the evil Knuckles stages.
Let me just interject here. She's basically Knuckles, but with boobs. Like, that's how they drew her.
That's,
you can see his dreads coming
confusing.
Down from back behind her head.
That's
well,
really
she has
confusing.
To control the same.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and so she's a bat, but she's drawn exactly like every Sonic. She's a bat that's essentially drawn like a hedgehog,
mm-hmm.
as far as the Sonic team's illustrator goes with gigantic tits, like huge human tits on a bat.
On a bat.
Yeah, like they're huge
that makes
human
sense.
Tits.
They're thinking like, we need another animal. We want her to be super busty. What is an animal that's busty? Oh, I know. Bats.
Bats are the way to go with this. I mean,
most people like bats.
Most
even.
People like bats.
She'll be a great character.
She's sexually attracted to bats. Other than Batman, of course.
I mean, in fairness, they were probably working off a little bit of Morrigan from Darkstalkers.
Oh, yeah,
because
yeah.
she did bats well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But for her, it was just a costume.
Morrigan basically wears bats.
Yeah.
But also, something I just thought of, in Sonic, every male character is naked, but they clothe the female characters, like her, Amy, Cream the Rabbit.
It's like how dudes can walk around without a shirt on.
Yeah. Just,
the hypocrisy doesn't end in the real world.
I say it's a double standard. Yeah.
It is.
And I think it's also, she also falls into the same class as Crystal, where, even more so, where the official art of her is the most sexual character art Sega team has ever done. Uh-huh. And that includes, like, I'm sure if they helped on Bayonetta. Like, she's essentially making Bayonetta poses, except she's a Sonic the Hedgehog character. Right.
I bet if you were to include scenes from the anime that she's in, it really gets
Is this
nuts.
The official anime or the...
Yeah, the Sonic X anime.
Or is it the anime not that you that you Sonic are you currently X, are in the X middle of anime? Writing? Not another Sonic anime.
I wish we had the YouTube video queued right now, but there's... It could be a troll, but I think it's a serious list from this guy of the sexiest characters in Sonic. And he talks about how hot every hairy girl is.
Well, bats don't have that much hair.
Number three. Hans the Fox.
Yeah. So he had to have a dude in this.
I'm not seeing the, I guess it's the Daisy Dukes. It's mm-hmm. That's where it
those jorts,
like,
man. Those are some. those are some hot jorts.
Those are some intense hot pants.
I mean, and he wears the bikini so well.
Yeah,
he's wearing he does have a bikini top. On it.
Yeah, he does.
It's more sexual than if he was just shirtless. Like, it's far more.
Yeah, I mean, if he had no clothes on,
I mean, look,
I'd be fine with
that. Hans the Fox knows what style is because check out his sleeved arms, even. You know, but that cloth is not connected to the bikini, so you know he was like, I'm going to wear sleeves that go up to almost to my shoulders and nowhere else. I'm going
to
let that hair.
I want to cut some holes in this shirt so that my...
I'm guessing he literally just, like, he wakes up in the morning and, like, kind of, like, saunters over to his mirror and it's just like, which parts of my body am I going to randomly cover today? I'm guessing, it makes sense to cover my crotch because I'm going to be proper.
Right.
Sleeves.
Yep.
And then, like, every day, he's just like, do I do the bikini today? Is that getting passe?
Can I do a half bikini here? Can I cover one nipple?
Tube top, maybe, or something?
Can I just want to...
And then he just decides, whatever it is, he's just like, I don't care, I'm going to be sexy.
And I'm going to go...
He pulls it off. He pulls it off.
I think Bloody Roar got too weirded out by this character because he is not in any of the sequels. He's only in Bloody Roar 1. Yeah. He got a little too hot for Bloody Roar.
I'd be curious how many people actually played as him.
Yeah, I'm sure there were people.
What the hell?
Sorry, that was a real cough, and then I decided to play it up.
Oh, God.
So Hans the Fox, a vicious, vicious man.
Number three.
In hot pants.
Yes.
Number three. I wouldn't mess with him, just because, I mean, look at those thighs. I mean, really, look at those thighs.
I looked at them a lot. I had to.
They're intense.
Me too.
They're Chun-Li level thighs.
Ooh. On a foxy man.
On a foxy, foxy, voluptuous, vulpine. Nothing?
Yeah. Vulpine. Vulpine is correct.
Ugh. I would use lithe.
Ooh.
Number two, Berry from Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Whoa, what a weird
screen cap.
Hell just happened here.
What?
So.
I did not have
this. The hotness of her behind.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Despite the Nintendo 64's graphical limitations.
I think that was probably the Xbox.
That looks like the Xbox.
Oh, is it?
A well-turned calf on that Berry.
Yeah, so Berry's a chipmunk.
Mm-hmm. Berry's totally a chipmunk.
Although she looks a lot like Lola Bunny, or Babs Bunny, I forget which.
Lola.
So, yeah, she's a chipmunk. She is the love interest in Conker's Bad Fur Day, mm-hmm. Which makes sense because Conker's Bad Fur Day is all about being inappropriate.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So what better way to be inappropriate than to sex up a chipmunk?
Just a super, super sexy chipmunk.
Rare finally got...
I mean, I thought the Chippendales chipmunks... That was a TV show, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Chippendale Rescue Rangers. I thought that was the apex of sexy chipmunk.
Now, here's the thing. Like, yes, this image is very provocative, but when I was watching the YouTube clip of this, because I had never played Conker's Bad Fur Day. I had no idea what it was.
Really good, by the way.
Yeah. When I was watching the intro YouTube, the intro on YouTube, the first time you see her, she's in this pose and bends over, listening to music, bends back up, bends over again, over and over and over. For like 5 minutes, this happens. And I was just like, holy hell. Yeah.
And I think, I could be wrong. And have you played the game?
Oh, yeah, I beat it.
Okay,
I
think there's a part where Conker gets shrunk and she keeps him in her cleavage.
Wow.
No. You're thinking
of Gulliver's Travels.
No, there's a... There's a breasty sunflower, and he bounces off of her cleavage.
Right.
Barry's actually barely in the game. Barely.
Come on, man. Listen, man. As somebody who I know played through Persona 4 twice, which literally is nonstop bear puns, you really need to be able to pull off a better Barry joke.
Barely in it.
What's her personality like?
Oh, a bit chipper. Actually.
Yeah.
So, on one hand, chipper. On the other hand, totally bitch.
No, I didn't say bitch. I said bitchy. I wouldn't call a woman a bitch, but I would never say that. I would use a descriptive...
She has traits of one of those. You need to rethink the line here.
I would use a gender-neutral term like bitchy. I would never call a woman a bitch.
I see.
But anyway...
I'd call a man.
She's very, very, very
it's kind
airheaded.
Of a fun word.
What word?
The word bitch.
Only when directed at a man who wants you to call him that.
I mean, I call myself a real son of a bitch all the time.
Well, that's calling your mother a bitch.
Real, that's fair.
All of a sudden, you just had a look on your face where you're just like, oh, no, right. I should not have done that.
One last thing about Barry. She's introduced in the start of the game, is kidnapped and like chased down for the whole game. She is then murdered, like killed in front of Conker. Then Conker is able to turn back time, but he forgets to save her when he has control. He basically gets godlike powers, forgets to save her, and then ends the game in a depressive state of like, I didn't save her. I want to die. I hate myself.
Ah.
And like, originally the ending of the game was him shooting himself in the face, and Nintendo made them cut that, so they just imply that he's suicidally
depressed.
Jesus
Christ.
This game was dark as hell.
Rare went for it.
Rare went to a bad place, but it started off in a sexy place.
They went to that place, and then their reward was just to be completely neutered.
Yeah. It was the last time they got to have fun. Yeah.
Mm. Number one.
Ruto.
Now.
Is it Ruto?
Ruto.
All right.
This was a weird one, right? Because
the other ones were totally cool. Here's the thing about Ruto. You see her as a child.
Right.
And then you see her as an adult. So she totally instantly has that girl next door like flavor to her.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Also, the year this came out, most of us were at an age where...
What year was this?
98.
So
I was 14.
I was like 11, 12 when I played it. So I was at the age where I'm like, I'm a 12-year-old. She is like... 10,
uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden she's like a 19-year-old. Like she goes 18. From like girl next door to friend's hot sister.
Yeah. Also a girl next door.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would also just like to point out her fins are beautiful.
Her fins are quite nice.
She has
quite
just nice skin in general.
Yeah.
I mean, scales.
She doesn't worry about having like the halter top or something. She's just like, yeah, here are my boobs.
Yeah. And she has a cute face, and then her head is a little large, uh-huh. and she has eyes on the sides. Top sides of her head.
Adorable.
Yep. Which absolutely I never even adorable. Knew until I was looking closely at her pictures, and I was like, oh man, just imagining that thing winking at me. That's gorgeous.
Also,
when you wake up in the morning, just blinking at you.
Oh my god.
Also, she has some status, too. She's a princess and a sage who protects the seal.
Well, she could be...
So basically, she is...
I would
perfect,
be her kept man.
The perfect woman... if not for the fact that she's a fish.
Right.
Well, here's another downside.
I'd even be cool
her.
With her eyes being there.
Oh,
if she
yeah.
was a human.
Oh, yeah. Only
it'd be advantageous her. In many situations.
You only free her by beating the water temple in Ocarina of Time. So
I never beat the water temple.
And she is one of the worst parts about that, because don't you have to just carry her around?
No, that's the first water temple.
Jabu Jabu's belly.
I'm talking about real water temple.
Right.
The horrible.
I'm talking about the real deal.
There was a second water temple?
Yeah, the mega water temple.
Yeah, there was the first one is like, this is sort of annoying, and the second one is the go fuck yourself water temple.
I don't think I even got past the first one.
Well, no, the first one
is... the first one where you had to raise and lower the water levels?
No, that is the water temple. Cooper was thinking of the one that's you're inside of a fish, which technically isn't a water temple. It's just a level.
It's a water level.
It's a dungeon.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, I remember even though, I think, is it Mallow, the woman in the...
Mm-hmm.
What's the in Ocarina, the one who works in like the in Lon Lon Ranch?
Oh yeah, I think let's just say Mallow.
Whatever. She was the one that as a kid I was like head over heels for, mm-hmm. but I still had a weird, creepy reaction to seeing Ruto.
Yeah,
it was very strange.
So that was
we have seven other ones we want to read.
Seven uncomfortably sexy video game animals. Sophia has banned us for covering the furry industry.
I had some other ideas, though.
Nope, sorry.
Can I say what they are?
Okay.
One is actually, it's based on a Lucas idea that I think now is the time to go back to, which is your favorite video game characters are actually furries.
Uh-huh.
And we just run through all of the video game characters that are in reality just furries, like Sonic in general.
I remember now. Sophia said this, and then we just started spitballing all of the wonderful furry features that we could do.
The top seven other sexy video game creatures. One that's just dedicated to an appreciation of sexy video game animals that are male.
It seems like we could do
a week
top
a themed week
top 10 top 10 fox animals
foxy foxes
foxy foxes
the we top could do, 10 fanfics about foxes
we could
even.
Do bears we could do
now when you say bears
I mean an actual bear.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry, I got mixed up.
Top 10 bears.
I think we have a themed week.
Yeah, we do.
Can we just, think we really week. Do have a furry week.
Can you email Sophia while we...
I think we have our week for September.
She preemptively has already shut.
So yeah, that's the top seven.
We apologize for anything that we just said. I certainly do, at least.
And we apologize that we're not going to have that much more.
I'm
going to
pretend like that was a fugue state. I don't remember what just happened for the past 20 minutes.
You don't? Not at all?
No.
Okay, we just started the top seven, so you got here at a perfect time. So that's Games Radar's top seven. Next week's will be less creepy.
Next week's going to...
Unless over the weekend I have a great idea for a furry article.
A little interesting next week.
Yeah, we'll get there. Also next week, we're launching a new video series.
Oh, yeah, GR Plays.
Nope.
No, fuck. Radar Plays.
Yep.
There you go.
Was it initially GR Plays?
It actually wasn't.
That's not ever at any time.
Radar Plays, it's a thrice weekly show.
Mm-hmm.
And some weeks there's going to be more. We're on Monday. We're going to do a...
I totally wrote it on the calendar as GR Plays.
I know you did. I fixed most of them.
There's a retro ones Monday.
Monday is retro games. We essentially sit through them and give you sort of like a full access playthrough of a of a section of the game where we kind of sit around and play it. And then every Wednesday we'll be doing the most recent new release. And in a week with a lot of releases, like next week, we'll just do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every day a new release. And then
Can
Friday.
Can we say what games we're going to be playing next week?
Yeah, next week. First one is...
Altered Beast.
Altered Beast is the retro game, and then we're doing Fire Emblem, Dead Space, and Sly Cooper for the middle time, and then the random game, I believe it's Cho Aniki.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which Shoot I up. Watched Lucas Super, you just believe that you have to watch this.
Oh, Cho Aniki, yeah. It's,
just believe us. You're
I've never
watch
seen
this.
It, so.
It's different.
I was surprised how many of you not heard of Cho Aniki.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. So, yeah, we're going to be doing every week, we're going to be doing at least three videos. Some weeks, most weeks, more than that. So, yeah, be sure to check those out next week. And we'll be right back with the news. Welcome back to segment two of Radio Radar, episode 24. Big week for news, starting off with Sony's teaser of an announcement on February 20th, which is said to show us the future of PlayStation.
Mm-hmm. Dun, dun, dun. God.
So,
quite an announcement.
Future of PlayStation. I got trolled so hard. So hard by Kasarai, because shortly after they launched this video, he tweeted something like, the first official PlayStation 4 screenshot, and it was like a loading screen.
Yeah.
Then I'm like,
the fake Kasarai Twitter?
Yeah. No, I think it was the real Kasarai.
I'm pretty sure it was the fake Kasarai Twitter.
I'm pretty sure it was the real... Anyway.
I'd be willing to bet you money that it was the fake Kasarai Twitter.
Is that the one where the guy is posing like with a three in his hands? I think that's the fake Kasarai.
No, I'm pretty sure it was the real Kasarai Twitter. Anyway, it was 100% absolutely. I am proud. Look.
I think.
Anyway.
All right.
It says parody account in big letters, you asshole. Huge letters at the top of the page. It says parody account. You illiterate asshole.
Ah, damn it.
You've been trolled again.
I got trolled by Ryan Talgeny. What, did you know this?
Yes.
Oh, I fucking hate you.
Just as you're spinning your computer away, you're like,
wait.
Deal. You move your computer and I just see, this is a parody account.
Let me tell my quick version of this story.
You were so cocky about that. I just got, you got so like, boom in your face. Look at this.
Look at this parody account. So let me clarify real quickly what happened.
Uh-huh.
on Twitter, I see the parody account, and it says, first official screenshot of a PlayStation 4 game, and you click it, and it's just a black box with the words loading on it. And I was like, ah, that's a funny joke. Send it to Tom. He looks at it, and he goes like, I don't get it. Why isn't it coming up, the image? And I'm like, that's the word loading is the joke. That's why it's funny. And he's like, there's no image here. I'm like, and he's like, and then finally, before I can explain, he gets it, and then
I didn't realize that it was a parody account. Actually, because I was like, wow, Cass Fry letting the buttons down, unbuttoning the straight up.
So
I got trolled twice, once by an imaginary figure, and twice by you.
Well, I'm practicing.
All right, so yeah, the future PlayStation. Of PlayStation. So what do you expect to actually be shown off at this event?
I would not be. I mean, what do you think it'll be? The PS4 announcement.
I definitely think it is the PS4.
Yeah, I do too.
I think they will say here is. They could maybe not even. I think they have to call it the PlayStation 4, but they could even just go like, this is the next PlayStation console, and just call it the NPC, like they did with the NPG before they decided on the Vita.
My concern with them not calling it the PlayStation 4 is they've witnessed what happens when you fuck up branding in the Wii U. Like, the Wii U, for most people are like, oh, cool, it's a new controller for the Wii. Mm-hmm. I think I remember hearing rumors that Microsoft was just going to call their new system the Xbox. But I think that they probably saw that, like, look how unbelievably confused people are by the Wii U. Like,
well, it's
other
funny
people.
Also, because with the Xbox, like, most people call it a 360.
Yeah.
Not an Xbox.
Right. Mm-hmm. But calling it an Xbox... It almost is like, oh, yeah, when you say Xbox, like, oh, yeah, the 360 is the response you're going to get. So I'm wondering if Sony was probably thinking the same thing, like, oh, let's just do PlayStation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But maybe they're rethinking that. So I expect...
I mean, at some point, they'll have to drop the number because it just gets ridiculous when you're up to 10.
Well, the iPhone's sticking.
10.
I mean, iPhone's sticking with the numbers. They're up to 5. And
yeah,
are
but
still
iPhones come out, like, once a year, right?
And they're going to be at iPhone 10 faster than Sony's going to be at PS10.
That's true, but I think there's something to... I don't know.
They're not
then
the same.
They could go back
too.
To PSX then.
Ooh, I'd like it if they called it PSX.
And it'll... Honestly, though, we're speculating about PlayStation at least 50 years in the future.
By then, we're probably going to be doing some kind of Johnny Quest bullshit going into Quest World.
Oh, I thought you were saying
solving crimes.
Real jobs.
Never. Don't you remember a commercial when PS2 came out that was like it was the future and it was the PS8 and a dude inhaled a cloud and that was the don't you guys remember that ad?
No.
Yes. Yeah. It's a little like orb, right?
Yeah.
It shows and he's like it actually kind of looks like a dystopian future where people walk around with portable games and like hallucinate the world around them. Which is actually my exact prediction for the PS4.
You know, if nothing else, the PS4 is probably going to have really bizarre commercials. Do you remember all those weird ass PlayStation 3 commercials?
Well, they fired that team because of when they were cleaning house of the PlayStation 3. Part of that was new console design. New ad campaign. They ditched all that garbage of a baby doll in
an
empty
room. Yeah, that was freaking weird.
And they got.
I never understood what they were trying to do with that.
I think
trying to signify like the power and potential of the console.
I think they're doing sort of what like Sci-Fi Network's whole shtick is imagine beyond this is something that's so outside what you'd expect. It's like almost like look at how original the games are gonna be. It's like it's just like this is how strange. You can understand. It's so outside of the box thinking.
Right.
But the problem is it ended up coming across as pretentious, fueled partially by Sony's CEOs consistently saying foot and mouth things. Like, at one point, they're just like, well, if you can't afford a PlayStation 3, just get a second job. Or maybe you don't want one enough. And it's like, cool. Happy to hear it. $599.
Kikuragi saying dumb stuff like that. Also, I think he kept implying... 600, it's a gift we're giving it to you, 600. We're losing money on this thing. Like, we should have charged.
In reality, they were. I mean,
they were, actually.
Yes, they were, because they stupidly made an too expensive a system.
They made it. I'm curious as to, like, I don't know what Sony's mentality on the PlayStation 3 is now, but I wonder if they would have taken it back Like, if they knew now what they knew then, or knew...
Then what you didn't know.
You know what I'm starting to say. Whether they would still gone ahead with the way that the PlayStation 3 came out. And I'm curious as to what the lessons they learned from the PS3 are that they will be applying to this console.
I mean, if they knew then what they knew now, they would have released the Wii.
It seems like there's a lot of technology.
It would be a Blu-ray player, like a $100 Blu-ray player that plays standard def games and comes with an iPad. And
it seems like it'll inherently be a lot cheaper just because Blu-ray technology is very well established now. Mm-hmm. HD, you don't have to deal, like it's just a lot cheaper to get all those processors.
Well, it's bizarre too when you think like when this console generation started, like all that stuff was new. Mm-hmm. Like even HD was like, whoa, look at all this.
HD TVs weren't even really
And you could justify buying a PS3 solely on the fact that it's like I kind of need a Blu-ray player anyway. But now it's like I have like three Blu-ray players. Like I just have like everything.
Really?
I have two PS3s.
Well, and physical media is like nothing to at least to me now. Physical media is like the last thing I watch. I have like three streaming services I'll go to before I put it.
All the expensive stuff is on the back end.
And you know what? Mm-hmm. What's really exciting about the next gen consoles, aside from the fact that obviously the games are going to look a bit better, but for me it's kind of like, what equivalents are we going to have with those? Like, it's almost a singularity in the sense like we can't even comprehend maybe the way that will change the way we consume media or do anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The way we stream everything now or the way we have high def now or that kind of stuff.
I did not see that coming in 2006. But I also wonder when the Gaikai shoe is going to drop. Like,
oh, it's got to be.
They have Sony's got Gaikai, which could just be streaming every game.
God, I'm so worried though that they're going to use that just for like streaming demos.
That's my guess. They're going to be able to stream demos through Gaikai. Any game, but what they might do is like play the first half hour of any game that's released. Uh-huh. Like you don't even have to make demos anymore.
Unsatisfying. It's like or maybe they
could let developers choose. Like you have to choose a half hour. Like you know how on Xbox it's like every Xbox Live Arcade game needs a demo. You're not even allowed to release without one. Mm-hmm. Doing like every game that comes out, you need to pick a half hour chunk, and that is your demo.
Well, I mean, you know, I almost expect too. If PS4 is not what happens, the announcement for that is not what occurs on the 20th. Then I'm thinking almost that it could be Gaikai.
I would be shocked if it's not what happened. I mean...
Oh, no. I'm convinced that that's what it'll be. I'm just saying. Like, that would be my other guess if I had to make one.
If it's not, I'm just imagining. I'm trying to imagine the actual lighting on fire of things.
I also wonder if they're going to show any actual, like, games like, this is the game. This is the name of it. This is PS4.
I kind of think they have to. Or like, show something.
They could just show a sizzle reel.
Bathtub full of rubber duckies or something.
What did Wii U do? Did they show off their...
The Wii U was just demos. They announced no games with it.
But they showed off what the graphics
were. It was like a reel, like a highlight reel, kind of.
It was a highlight reel. Well, okay, I won't say they didn't say show no games, because they did say Darksiders, Batman, and...
Didn't they show Pikmin?
Yeah, and they showed... No, they didn't show Pikmin. Pikmin premiered in 2012. They did not show Pikmin. Or they didn't show the Pikmin game. They might have shown Pikmin around the Wii U, but the game wasn't shown until 2012.
The only game that was actually shown off at all, the only actual game was Killer Freaks from Outer Space.
That's right.
Which was an Ubisoft game, not a Nintendo game. They showed off a bunch of games that ended up being parts of Nintendo Land, though. But also, the difference was Nintendo was playing a long game. Mm-hmm. They were like, we're going to show it off now and then show it off for real next year.
Right.
Sony is not. Sony is announcing it now so that they can do that shit at E3.
They can, and launch in November.
So. Yeah, they have to rush for it. So what are you actually expecting from... I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about this plenty, but as far as, like, a price point, the rumors I'm hearing that I think is probably true is they're trying to keep it at, like, $399.
I think that...
One SKU.
Yeah, I think that's... Honestly, that's probably the cap that people are willing to pay for a new machine now. Like... The PS3 was a perfect example of that. Like, nobody wanted to buy that thing at $600.
Yeah. I mean, think about what kind of a computer, like a desktop computer, you can get for $399 these days. You can get something really powerful for $399. And if they're subsidizing, I mean, you could probably find a computer that
Honestly, at that price point, the consoles beat out the PCs.
Yeah, it's because it's a matter of, like, you can't build a good PC for $400. Because you wouldn't, because the
not
pieces,
a good gaming PC.
Yeah, because
I think you can.
The motherboard alone is like $100.
You can get for $400 a PS3 or Xbox 360 equivalent gaming PC.
I can see that. So if they're subsidizing it, which invariably they will, just a little bit even.
Yeah.
I can see it coming in at $400.
I think they will subsidize it, but also it comes in that, like, you build it. Consoles are cheaper to build than PCs because you're building 5 million of them at a time, mm-hmm. and there's some proprietary shit in there, but that's, you're saving money. Like, everything, they're essentially getting shit at cost because they're making it.
Right. That's true.
So I think you're going to end up, you essentially end up with a $1,000 gaming PC for $400. Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, years from later, you know, the consoles always, you just can't upgrade them, which is the big deal.
Though I also, you know, we say maybe Sony learned from the PS3 to not make the fanciest system in the world and make it cost too much, but the Vita, while the Vita price was right, like, it was almost too technologically advanced, definitely more than it mm-hmm. needed to be. So I still think they're going to want to have the fanciest system.
And the price was right when they announced it, mm-hmm. but by the time it was close to coming out and we had seen the 3DS legitimately almost fail at close to that much of a price, it was like, oh, wait, this isn't the right price. And that was also, you know, Sony didn't learn their lesson because they still had a $50 more 3G version.
Yeah.
And the only reason that system was the price it was because it didn't come with any built-in memory and you had to spend at least $20, but realistically $50 to $100 to get enough memory to last you. Yeah. So that system was proof that, like, Sony might just do the Xbox method of, like, the system comes with 6 gigs of space. And you can buy a hard drive for $100 more. Or maybe they'll do what they did for the PS3, which is, like, it's 6 gigs of space, but you can just put any hard drive you want in there.
The other issue that they'll be running into is when Nintendo announced the Wii U, it was a dramatic step up from the Wii. So it was an easy sell, and they still kind of bubbled it,
right.
Whatever. Sony will be in a even more difficult spot because the PS3 still looks and is running really top quality games, so selling this idea that this system is actually a lot better than mm-hmm. you know, the
PS3. They need something
something that makes it look like it's worth buying a new
an ocean full of rubber ducks.
While you're on that topic, like, I think it is kind of neat to think about the fact, like, a 7-year-old machine can run Battlefield 3 or Far Cry 3.
Killzone 2 still looks amazing.
Well, right? It's like, that's really mind-boggling.
Now games are starting to, Assassin's Creed 3 tried to be extra fancy and it's full of bugs. Like, we've had some of the buggiest AAA games on consoles in the last year. Like, because I think that's where, it's not in the graphics, but in the quality controls where you're seeing the limits be hit on systems.
Right. Like, it's almost like the PS3 is too powerful, so they're trying to max it out. And, mm-hmm. and in doing so, their scope is just way off.
Yeah, I think that's it. And also, what they're going to show us, I wonder if they're going to, like, just show up a straight-up lie like the Killzone 2 video, or if they're going to, or if they learn their lesson from that, too, and they'll have a thing that's like, actual gameplay on screen, promise.
I wouldn't be surprised if I don't think they'll show something with actual gameplay, but I think they'll show something with a disclaimer saying it isn't. Like, target footage. But at this point, with the system supposed to be out in
under a year.
In eight to ten months.
I mean, in fairness, we don't have it. Sony hasn't said exactly.
I'm saying if it's going to be announced in 8 months, they better have something to show.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, the Wii U was a year and a half away when they first showed it off.
I remember Guerrilla Games said they were going to have something big this
year. Yeah, they said they expect 2013 to be their biggest year ever.
So maybe that's Killzone 4?
Could be
Killzone Reboot.
They have, this PS Vita game?
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be that. Yeah, there's no way it could be that. That would be weird.
I'd love for it to be that.
Mm. Yeah.
It'd be funny. Or The Last Guardian. other much smaller news. Grasshopper's new game has a release date,
mm-hmm.
which is the game's Killer is Dead, right?
Killer is Dead now has an official U.S. publisher, Xseed, coming out on 2013, summer 2013.
And Grasshopper was bought.
Yeah, they got bought by Gung Ho, an MMO publisher, which is very strange. Like, Grasshopper's always been so purposefully independent. They ended up getting purchased by this company.
Well, I mean, Grasshopper is another studio that doesn't make big selling games.
Yeah.
They're kind of platinum games in this way, where they make pretty good games that don't sell.
Right.
The Lollipop Chainsaw was their best selling game. It wasn't a million seller, but it was their best selling game to date.
And it was also probably one of their worst.
Actually, how much did No More Heroes sell? I can't remember.
It sold well enough to get a sequel.
Right.
And a PS3 version.
Yeah.
I remember for a while people were speculating that if like the PS3 version sold well, then you might see more developers just going like, hey, let's just keep making Wii games, and if they do well, we can make real versions.
Yeah.
But that ended up not happening because No More Heroes sold horribly on PS3.
Because the move is nothing.
Yeah, so what I found really interesting about this article is the gung-ho element, because it was reminding me of what just happened with THQ, where you now have Saints Row at...
Deep Silver?
Deep Silver, Coke Media, or whatever it is. And it's like, no longer are big franchise... It's like the big franchises are now at publishers who have no name value recognition or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
money. They got, and they
apparently
have money,
they have this money. And it's like we're getting a lot more money in from different not traditional or not established gaming companies are throwing a lot of money at games.
What does worry me about it, I looked into Gung Ho's other games that aren't MMOs they publish.
Uh-huh.
They own the developer Acquire, who made Tenchu and then made really awful games after Tenchu.
Maybe they realized that they needed some actual talent. Like somebody like they wanted to acquire a visionary basically, and they got Suda 51.
Yeah, the most when these type of things happen, like the avant-garde head of a developer that gets purchased,
thank you for the money. Yeah. Goodbye.
You've bought 3 years of me contractually working here, and then I'm going to leave and start a new place.
Right. Like,
that's what always happens. I'm still waiting for that to happen with Ken Levine after Infinite Ships.
He got to make his crew there.
Yeah, that's true.
But the bigger story is Grand Theft Auto 5 is delayed.
You keep saying Grand Theft Auto 5 is dated. that to me is more interesting. September 17th.
Glass half full, half empty.
And it's weird because I'm not normally an optimistic person.
It is strange. I'm usually pretty excitable.
Yeah,
comparatively, but it is not going to meet its spring estimation.
But it will be making its September 17th release date.
Yeah. So they apologized.
Right. I don't like apologies.
But the game's just too big. They need
more
time.
Why is Rockstar apologizing?
Who the fuck are they apologizing to?
I know.
The people they're breaking their backs to make a game for.
Yeah.
Oh, we're so sorry. We're working crunch time for.
That apology,
4 extra fucking months
that
for you assholes.
Has me worried about Grand Theft Auto 5. Because it's like, oh, they lost it. They lost the...
they lost their... We don't give a shiz.
Yeah, we don't give a shiz. They give a shiz now. As soon as you start caring, things go to hell.
What? You're not supposed to give a shiz?
Yeah.
I think they'll hit this date, though. Yeah. Otherwise, they're out. They are likely going to put out the game after new consoles come out, and that's... That's too much of a risk for
GTA.
I wonder, actually, if this delay was part of their PR marketing plan. Because it's like, they didn't have anything really to talk about. All we're really talking about is the fact that it's delayed.
That's true.
I wonder if their delay delayed the next gen.
I wonder...
Like, if Sony was like, we could probably hit September 1st, and then they're just like, oh, they're delaying GTA. And they're like, November. November's good.
February, I hear, is very popular for games these months. I'm kind of curious as to whether this delay was just a planned delay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past them.
They did that already.
The planned delay?
Sort of. They do that with every game when they announce that their game is going to hit November and then they delay it until April. And they did that because they were like, they announced it and then there was like, in investor calls, they were just like, yeah, it'll be out pretty soon, wink,
soon-ish.
Wink. And then they're like, did we say soon? We meant April-ish spring.
Spring sound?
So I feel like they've done that with almost every game they've made in the last 4 years, and this is the first time they've done another delay. Right. I'm actually kind of worried that their September means April.
I'm pretty sure Red Dead was delayed multiple times.
It was, but the last delay was a November to April.
And Max Payne was a disaster when it was delayed.
But its last delay was November to April. Like they always eventually say like end of the year, and then they push it back into spring, and that's always where like their games land there every time.
Well, and LA Noire had the most trouble development of anything they've published. Like
that had a lot of delays.
And then it made trillion dollars.
LA Noire? I don't think so.
No, I made like $8.
No, it sold all right.
Somewhere in between those two, then?
Yeah, somewhere in between those. Oh, back to the PS4 thing. I read another rumor this morning. I just remember that Edge, I believe, was the source on this. They said that PS4 will be out in Europe in early 2014. Like, it's only going to be a US and Japan launch this
Interesting.
Year.
I can see that.
But Europe loves PlayStation more than any of the three regions.
the issue that PlayStation has had in this console generation is that the PlayStation is big in Europe and mm-hmm. it's not selling as well in the U.S. And I can mm-hmm. see them wanting to make a bigger prioritization out of the U.S. Because mm-hmm. the U.S. market is like the creme de la creme of markets.
We're pretty
big. As far as Mac markets go.
We're pretty big and we like
it's up there. It's tasty.
We're pretty big and we like to spend money on distractions.
It's true.
Yeah,
because we cannot live with ourselves.
Yeah, we've filled our homes with stuff to the point where we can't have any more stuff, so we need to jump into the television.
Right. Exactly. PS4 will let you actually jump into your TV.
Well, hopefully, as long as it launches with a Persona.
Oh.
Persona! Because you do that in Persona.
Are you done with that game yet?
No, man. I'm only 20 hours
in. I'm not even done.
I hope I'm never done.
75 hours.
I'm really waiting for one of you. Are you playing Golden?
Yeah.
As soon as I'm done,
you can borrow it.
I need to play this game.
You're going to fucking hate it.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you a fan of RPGs?
JRPGs?
Yeah.
No.
How about just turn-based RPGs in general?
I am a fan of quality.
All right.
And I find that most JRPGs are low quality, but you guys are making me believe that this is high quality.
All right. So you'll be able to play
it.
You can get off on.
I could get excited about stupid teenage angsty drama shit.
So let's rewind with the original thing you were going to say.
I can get off on strangling stupid angsty teenage... damn it.
Wow.
The top seven...
But no. Stop seven things I can get off on that involve strangling.
So. No, you went too far.
Damn it. But no, yeah. Vampire Diaries. I dig the Vampire Diaries.
Oh, never mind. You're ready.
I'm ready. I'm ready for the angsty teenage drama.
Yeah, so we have a quick preview as well.
Oh, yes, yeah. The Warner Brothers Interactive came by to show us the newest build of Injustice, which is out in April.
Gods Among Us.
Cool name. So they finally describe some of the story now, which, Metropolis is destroyed, Superman goes crazy, and then everybody starts taking sides. Superman and Wonder Woman and a lot of the other godlike superheroes start to take over the world to protect it, in their minds. Batman and a lot of the street-level dudes are like, you guys suck, you can't take over the world. And then the villains hate everybody.
Right.
So... I got to play it some. I played against Brian. It was really cool doing. I got to be Green Arrow this time, and it's so cinematic. That's what I like most about it. The super moves, they have the quality of like a fatality of how involved those are in Mortal Kombat, except they can happen anytime. They're not at the end of the match, and so since the game can't be M-rated mega violence that the Mortal Kombat developers want to put in it. They instead have just theatrical violence with some teeny bits of blood.
Yeah.
Like Superman punching someone into space or Harley Quinn sliding between your legs with an exploding cream pie and stuff like that. It's really ridiculous. It has some ridiculous stuff, other times really fun stuff. And I really got to experience like the levels in it, even though it's a 2D fighter on a 2D plane. It's 2.5D, I guess. Like the backgrounds have a ton of things you can do. You can turn on the Batmobile to shoot missiles at someone. You can teleport. Like you can't get stuck in a corner because there's usually some item there that you can use to get out of the corner. And so it really at least mixes things up a bit.
Cool.
How is the fighting?
The fighting's good. Like it's also more. A little simpler, like it's just strong, heavy in attack. And if you want to do a super move, you just hold down left and right, the left and right shoulder at the same time, and you just do it. Mm. Like it's no complicated input.
Is like, it like a satisfying fight though?
I felt pretty satisfied, but I'm not a big fighting game buff, so right. I want one that's simpler and easier to get into.
Yeah.
I can see that. I mean, I can. I'm definitely more interested in this game, knowing that it's not going to be like a super complex competitive fighter.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's much more down to earth, and it's not as manic as Marvel versus Capcom.
Right. And the same guys who are making Mortal Kombat are making this game.
Yeah, it's NetherRealm. It's their next game.
They apparently did just a good enough job with DC versus Mortal Kombat that DC was like, "All right, go ahead, make this game you obviously want to make." So yeah, that's it for previews.
That's all we saw.
And we have a few big ones next week and a few big reviews. And when we get back, we have some I'll say half reviews. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to the last segment of Radio Radar, episode 24. Like I said earlier, we have half reviews because these are games that we have either not reviewed ourselves or haven't finished because they're just sort of out or not out yet. First one is Antichamber, which I came out a few days ago and I finally got to play it last night. It's PC only.
Okay.
And
won a shit ton of awards from various independent IGF and other independent game festivals.
Sure.
Is this that one that looks like mostly Portal, like kind of hand-drawn kind of thing?
There's an element of Portal to it that whenever I see it is what I think of.
Yeah.
But it's like corridor crawling. And
The missions it gives you, like one of the first things that happens in the game is you start off in like an all-black room that actually has like the options on the wall. So you actually like look at the wall and change your options and everything. And then you just jump into a hallway. And at the end of the hallway, there's a blue staircase going down and a red staircase going up. And the game's like, you know how in Portal there'd be like the panels on the wall that would tell you like what obstacles there would be in that mission? They were pretty much useless. They were just there for flavor. There's panels on the wall here that have a picture. And when you look at it, it changes to text that gives you some context for the puzzle you're facing. So, for instance, you had the blue staircase going down, red up, or other way around, I don't remember. And it says, the panel on the wall says, some choices are as simple as choosing one direction or another. So I went down the blue staircase, and ended up, like, seamlessly walked down the blue staircase, turned, ended up at the same exact spot. Same thing on the wall. This game does a really good job of, like, normally, like, some games would just, like, teleport you back. Mm-hmm. This makes it feel seamless. Like, you literally just walked downstairs and you arrived at the same place. So I'm like, all right, turned, went to the other staircase, went up. Arrived in the same exact place. Turned, and there's a new panel on the wall to the left, and it says, the right choice, there's no right choice when it leads to the same result. So I tried like two more times, and then just when I got to the top, turned around, went backwards, and now going backwards, that's the exit. That is literally.
Spoilers!
That's the first puzzle of the game. That is what this fucking game does to you.
Wow.
There's little wall panels. Like, you'll go into a room, and it'll be a mostly empty room, except there'll be a, essentially what's like a picture frame, except when you look it looks like you're looking into a window into the other room. If you walk all the way up to it, and then walk backwards, you're now in that room. This game is just full of ridiculous stuff like that.
So is it like training you to, as you progress, the things that you do in earlier puzzles will incorporate into future? Because that sounds
sometimes
like,
yeah.
When you're doing that, it's like it's you're being trained to look behind you. Basically,
it's more you're being trained not to trust your surroundings.
Hmm.
It's all about changing your perspective in ways that literally only a video game can do.
Mm-hmm.
I played it for about an hour. I think it actually at an hour and a half it stops. Like it's how many puzzles can you complete in that amount of time?
Really?
There's no narrative whatsoever, which I actually think is my issue with the game so far is that it feels like...
The game stops after an hour and a half.
I believe so. That's I could be wrong.
Okay.
There's a timer in this room that just is counting down. The issue I sort of have is that it feels like it could have been so much better with something guiding you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be GLaDOS laughing at you, but some kind of... it feels like there's so much greatness there that if Valve would have grabbed this and been like,
yeah,
fuck it, this is Portal 3, or this is something completely different. It would have been really, like, with some writing or some guidance. I mean, there is something beautiful about the fact that there isn't any.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's like $15 right now. It might be $25 by the end of the weekend or something.
It'll go up to $20 after the...
But I love games that do things that are impossible outside of this medium. Mm-hmm. And if you like that sort of game, I absolutely recommend you pick it up. Unless our review comes back and says it sucks, in which case you should.
Yeah, we'll have the full review on Monday.
Yeah.
So
if you want to wait around till then, if you're just looking for something to play over the weekend, this is something that is out and you can download it right now.
Right.
Hmm. Unlike the other game, which I'm super excited for playing, but Henry has been playing some of it already.
Yep, I am about 12 hours into Fire Emblem Awakening, and I definitely agree with our review from freelancer Kat Bailey, was it?
Yes.
It was Kat Bailey.
Yeah, me and her agree that it's the best Fire Emblem to date and also the best RPG on the 3DS. Some commenters disagree that it's an RPG. I'm like, come on, guys, fine. SRPG strategy.
Angry about the distinction between SRPG. Meanwhile, no one gets angry about the distinction between action RPG and turn-based RPG.
Well, that's like when my buddies who'd be like, dude, I like thrash metal or thrash core or whatever, and you're like, what the fuck are you even talking about? Is it just like heavy metal?
But the thing is it's
rock
like,
and roll.
Even, it's like if people if like like there's heavy metal, there's thrash metal, but if you say I like metal, it encompasses all of that. But for some reason, like hardcore RPG fans get so angry if you lump in strategy RPGs with RPG. Like people, like I was talking, it's like the original RPG is Dungeons and Dragons, which is a tactical RPG because it's on a grid. But for some reason, and Final Fantasy copied it almost, they copied it as much as possible, but they just couldn't have the tech to make a grid, so they just made it turn-based.
Yeah.
And for some reason, now, tactical RPGs, you just can't, like, you can't call them that anymore. It's just so weird to call, like, that you're not allowed to call them RPGs anymore. But yeah.
Anyway.
Fire Emblem
is an RPG fucking G. sorry, I got into arguments about this.
No, it's cool. So Fire Emblem Awakening, it has all the same old gameplay of all Fire Emblem games. Grid-based, turn-based. You can only use weapons so many times before they break. Characters have there's permadeath, and you can't save during fights if you don't turn on casual. If you don't want to bother with that BS, then put it on casual. I won't judge you too much. But on top of that stuff, they have much better storytelling. Like they have these really cool, like cel-shaded cutscenes with full voiceover in them, and same with there's a lot more voice and polygonal storytelling in the in-between scenes, like instead of just static heads. Though you will have static head conversations, but far fewer than before.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's coming out on Monday on the 3DS in the U.S. You can either download it or buy it in stores. I
heard it's a huge download, I think.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Because I was thinking, I ordered it off Amazon, and it's like, it'll be there 3 days after launch. And I'm like, do you think I can wait that long? So I was like, oh, I'll download it. Nope, apparently it'll pretty much just fill up any memory card you have.
Yep.
So I'm going to have to go on the old dusty trail to a GameStop.
No, Target.
To a Best Buy.
Best Buy.
Yeah, Best Buy, I guess.
Where it's the Best Buy.
Best Buy. Whatever.
So yeah, we gave it a 4.5.
Yeah, that's a high score.
Makes it one of the higher... The two games this year that have gotten 4.5s, both RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's been a good year for RPGs.
Ni No Kuni.
Oh, right.
This has been a good, better year for more traditional RPGs than last year was already.
Mm. Interesting.
Huh. Or the last 2 years, even, really.
Pretty much the entire generation. This is the best year for RPGs.
Anyway, that is the reviews. Next week, we got some big old reviews coming.
You can expect that all the games we just talked about earlier for being part of Radar Plays, which launches next week, we will also have reviews for.
Dead Space 3, Sly Cooper, what was the other one?
It was Fire Emblem.
Oh, shit.
We'll be able to talk more about it, though.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Though we probably won't. But
I think I know already what we said.
Yeah. We'll say it again.
Right.
I don't think we ever actually formally reviewed Persona for the Golden on the show. We've talked about it once or twice. Maybe that's the time.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's probably not. People are tired of that.
No.
Let's talk about Magic. Let's review Gatecrash.
Oh, man. Gatecrash coming today.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Do you think Lucas has finally
got
the box?
I think he fucked it up.
He fucked it up so bad.
Yeah.
Wait, so are we playing tonight or not?
I don't know.
We should be. Unless Lucas can't deliver.
Can you open the door and ask Lucas? We'll ask him later. We have to finish the show.
Yeah.
Send him an IM.
I kind of want to leave now. Can we be done?
Community segment from
last
week.
The finish the show,
the question was, what THQ franchise would you like to own, and what would you do with it? The winner is Subboss1993, who gave us a very long answer that we will read a small part of because we want to go yell at Lucas.
Yeah.
I might take Destroy All Humans, as it remains a really interesting sounding concept that desperately needs better execution. And he explains that it's kind of XCOM in reverse, where you're invading, and you have to fight off the humans as you're trying to invade the entire world. And you'd have to have 1950s America, and it would be jokes and weirdness. So yeah, Subboss 1993, send us an email at radioradar@gamesradar.com, and we'll send you something. We have games, PC games, PS3 games, video games.
I have confirmation that we will also soon have Gatecrash.
Nice. We can send you a pack of Gatecrash if you really want. Just kidding. We're not sending you a pack of Gatecrash.
Are we going to be reviewing Gatecrash?
If you want
to. Press,
do you want to? Oh, I need to email them about that.
I know, right?
Let's finish the show. Question of the week for this week. You can answer it on gamesradar.com or send us an email or send us a message on Twitter at @GRRadioRadar. If Sony is not announcing the PS4 next month, what do you want them to announce?
I am going to say they are announcing that the PS Vita, they'll cut the price to by $100.
Oh, $100.
They'll be now $150 PS Vita.
That was
just
what I was going to say.
Yeah, all right. Well, then
I'll do mine. Mine's more realistic. Right. A full-on new model of the Vita. Mm-hmm. Wait, no. Let me start over. A full-on new model of the PSP. Because they've done that like four times. I want a new PSP model that plays UMDs again and also plays Vita games.
Oh, boy. Well, I would like to hear more about whatever their plans with Gaikai may be. But also, I really think they need to start doing something with the Vita. Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear about more first-party games for the thing, honestly.
The new Tearaway preview looks cool.
There's plenty of first-party stuff that they could be doing stuff with,
mm-hmm.
which would also be
too much work.
I know. A lot of work.
Tom, what was yours?
Mine was a price cut for the Vita.
And Magic the Gathering 20.
And also Duels of the Planeswalkers 2014 confirmed for the Vita. With its
That'd be so good.
I know.
Yeah, wow.
Why is that not on?
Tapping mana by using the back touch screen.
Oh, man, you can physically tap it to tap the mana.
We done?
Oh. Yeah.
We good?
So we have some cool stuff coming up next week. There's our Dead Space lore video.
Yes.
Which, I forgot about
that. We have spent a lot of time on, an absurd amount of time on, and I'm excited for it and hopefully it'll be cool and you'll like it.
Radar plays.
Follow us on Twitter, Radio Radar, GR Radio Radar, or Games Radar on the Twitters. There's the Facebooking of Facebook.com.
Games Radar.
Games Radar. Email us, radioradar@gamesradar.com.
If you want to do fan art, go for it. People have asked on Twitter about that.
Do fan art. You can call us.
Review us on iTunes.
You can review us on iTunes.
We love reviews on iTunes.
You could send us letters that you've handwritten and addressed to 4,000.
Can we go now?
I miss seeing when the magazines would get prisoner mail.
Oh my God, we got so much of that when I was at.
Yeah, P-Tom seemed very popular with prisoners.
Yeah.
Anyway, I personally am going to go fire Ryan Talzhenik.
Why?
Have a long talk with him for trolling me so hard. I can't remember the last time. I'm not a gullible person. I am not a gullible person. And I can't remember the last person who actually tricked me.
Well,
the funny thing is he made no attempt to trick you. He just sent you a funny Twitter.
That's true, honestly. I thought maybe you would get in on that funny joke with me, but you took it way too seriously, man.
Started writing, you assigned out like seven editorials about how more CEOs need to be funny like Kaz. It was a bad scene.
That's the sweetest troll of all when you don't even mean to.
It was bad.
See you next week, everyone.
Bye.
Which goes better with champagne and caviar?
Both!
We haven't had this one.
That's a good question.
Boy, this is tough.
Sophisticated.
All right.
Or,
There was some decision in Henry's there. Decisive.
This one's almost too easy. Ah, fuck it. Castlevania Symphony of the Night. I mean,
how is that too easy?
First of all, you've got who's in the Alucard? Is he
Alucard?
Alucard is the definition of sophisticated. He is a vampire that is millions of years old and wears, you know, like Victorian shit. And when he dances, alone with the devil, who isn't actually there. But clearly he is drunk at the time, off of champagne.
Also, symphonies are pretty classy.
When you're drunk, alone, dancing with the devil, there's really only one meal that you can really resort to.
McDonald's.
Caviar.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Also McDonald's.
So champagne, drinking, caviar, eating, a la carte, dignified, Victorian, Satan.
So I went with Missile Command.
Okay.
Reason being, when I think champagne, caviar, I think kind of hoity-toity, highbrow sophistication. And Missile Command is a game that is, it's very easy to have long philosophical talks about. So it's a game at its core, it's just about stopping these little awful pixels from blowing your stuff up. But it's really a game about like a nuclear holocaust. And the creator said that he had nightmares in the years following making the game and while he was making it about just nukes going off and devastation because of making the game, like trying to get that into the game.
He's got a wildly overactive imagination.
Right. But I mean, it's easy to see a conversation about Missile Command going awry and becoming a philosophical discussion about game design and how you can do so much with so little, and
the world's ending. I may as well blow all my money on shit that
on salty fish eggs,
and some booze.
Mm. So that's Missile Command.
Delicious. Well, when I think champagne and caviar, I think yum, and nothing else makes me think yum quite like fruits.
Have you guys ever had caviar?
Yeah.
I have it.
It's pretty gross.
It's just salty.
Okay.
Fruit Ninja, huh?
That being said, Fruit Ninja is also a sophisticated game. The exact precision that's required to slice fruit into pieces can be achieved only by those who concentrate by drinking champagne and eating caviar. And it becomes a game that you kind of speak with your children's babysitter.
What the hell accent is going on right now?
Mine is Word with Friends. Word with Friends is all about taking turns, and you have time to think and drink caviar. I'll just stop. Caviar.